We pray. Heavenly Father, what a holy love you have for us that would not leave us condemned to death, but with all your might and fervor, your very Son's life, you sought to win us and make us your own. Dear Lord, what determination your grace has brought upon us. Oh, that we might walk in the light of your goodness and grace and have that very same love that determines for us to live for you. Bless us, guide us, instill in us the love that goes beyond this world. In Christ our Savior, amen. Picture with me that we're all sitting out on a grassy slope in the park listening to an evening concert. Next to the park is a tall apartment building. From a terrace 10 stories up, a sniper starts to shoot down at the people. He picks off one after another as the people jump up from where they're sitting, run in every direction, and scream in absolute panic. Within minutes, the police officers storm the building, and the paramedics are racing out to the injured and wounded. What does it feel like to be one of those police officers or the paramedics in that moment? While everyone else is running for their lives, you need to fight that instinct. You have been trained, you're prepared, and you have put on the uniform that moves you into stopping shooters and taking care of people who are dying even when the bullets are flying. With your heart pounding, you make the decision to go in the building, run up the stairs, and burst into the room. With that determination, you scan the grass and you crouch low and you run to the side of those who are bleeding and dying, even while bullets are flying over your head. Can you feel your jaw set and your adrenaline pumping as you're moving ever closer toward the danger that may take your life? If you can feel that courage under pressure, then we might have a slight taste of how Jesus was determined to press on to reach the goal. The Pharisees, in our gospel account, tried to scare Jesus into running for his life. They said, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus was not going to run or hide or change what he was doing for fear of drawing Herod's sniper fire. Jesus replied in all determination, "I will keep on driving out demons and healing the sick today, tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. I must press on. Today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Jesus promised these Pharisees that he would continue driving out demons and miraculously healing the sick. "You foolish Pharisees, does someone who, with a single word, throws demons into the abyss and heals broken bodies, does such a person sound like a man who is afraid of Herod or any other human?" Jesus was determined to keep on going one day after another, moving ever closer to deadly Jerusalem. Satan tried to deter him, detain him, and even destroy God's anointed Savior to keep him from fulfilling his mission. We are traveling this Lenten journey, recalling in our minds what happened so long ago. There are about 5 weeks left before we reach another Good Friday and Easter celebration. I wonder what Jesus was thinking and feeling 5 weeks before his crucifixion. Each day, every step was bringing him closer and closer to accomplishing his goal. With determination, Jesus said, "I must press on. I will reach my goal." Rescuing us, saving us, was not just some activity Jesus decided to do. No, the love that was the very essence of his being, his very nature, drove him into spending his life in order to ransom ours. Jesus told his disciples who he was and what compelled him from the very essence of his being when he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus knew that he was going to die in Jerusalem, and he knew how he was going to die in Jerusalem. Growing up, Jesus probably saw many people hanging on Roman crosses along the side of the road. Jesus also had memorized Psalm 22, which graphically depicts what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. In that psalm, King David, 1,000 years earlier, described the Messiah's crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus could recite it word for word. My God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. His enemies taunted, "He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him, since he delights in him. They pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. You lay me in the dust of death. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you." Jesus came into this world in order to meet his destiny in Jerusalem. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, would die, not because he couldn't defend himself against the enemies. Rather, he chose to sacrifice his life to save ours. When police officers die in the line of duty, we honor them for sacrificing their lives in order to keep us safe. This Lenten season, our hearts overflow with songs of honor, because nothing would stop our Savior God from laying down his life to wash us clean of our sins, to free us from eternal death, to save us from the hell prepared for Satan and his angels. Then Jesus came back to life. He rose in full and complete victory. It is all done. He did not give up or give in. And so we are saved. Not all the people of Israel were looking for their Savior. Jesus laments, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left you desolate." As much as Jesus wanted to gather their children together, they didn't want him. As hard as it is to fathom that someone who has grown up in America would so hate America with all of its blessings that that person would turn into a domestic terrorist, blowing up innocent children in shopping malls. Yet it is even harder to imagine how God's blessed Israelites, the chosen and loved children of God, could kill God's prophets and God's Son, their only Savior. The Pharisees read the scriptures every day without taking them to heart. They praised Abraham, Isaac, and Israel without sharing their faith. They offered sacrifices for atonement for their sins without repentance in their hearts. They were going through the motions. Jerusalem would be leveled. The people scattered throughout the world. Their homes burned down, and their souls desolate, bankrupt, empty of any faith, hope, or love. The Pharisees forfeited the grace that could have been theirs. What about us? Are we determined to live for ourselves, to be our own gods, to push Jesus' words away as irrelevant for our day and age? Or are we determined to press on to reach the goal which Christ has called us heavenward? Do we take to heart the scriptures that we read? Share the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? Do we meet God's sacrifice with a heart of repentance? Or will our Lutheran house be left desolate? Jesus' loving forgiveness transforms our timid hearts to be stout hearts, like the Apostle Paul had when he wrote, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." God's salvation gives us determination to swim against the currents of this wicked world, to not love the wickedness that this world loves, to stand up for God's truth even though our sinful nature tries to shoot us down. We do not give up or give in. God locks our eyes on our Savior Jesus every step of every day from here to eternity. We must press on through the roadblocks that Satan would like to throw in our way. Satan would like us to become satisfied with staying home, listening to the services on the radio or computer when we are perfectly capable of coming to church. Now, don't get me wrong. Televised services are a wonderful blessing for those who are truly sick, handicapped, or in danger of becoming seriously ill. For us, who can go everywhere in town, Satan tempts us to listen from my easy chair is good enough. I don't want to go through the effort. I don't need to gather with my family of believers. We, however, do not want to take the easy, lukewarm way. We are God's redeemed children who are determined to press on to reach the goal. For our God says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Judgment Day is approaching. The day is coming when this entire world will be left desolate. Satan tempts us to compartmentalize our faith. It's great to be religious on a Sunday morning, while the rest of the week belongs to us, to be real, with a no trespassing sign up for Jesus. We, however, do not want to go along, to get along with this world. We are God's redeemed children who are determined to press on to reach the goal. Jesus compares us to a lighthouse. He says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." God's goal for us is that we spend eternity in heaven with Him, that we do not forfeit the grace that could have been ours. God's goal for us is that our identity of who we truly are and our whole reason for living here is found in Him alone, not in this world. We are the children of God, serving, praising, and giving Him glory. Those are our reasons for living. Nothing is more important. As we journey with Jesus to Calvary, may God put His determination in our hearts. Make it the very fabric of our being, so that we stand tall and press through the troubles and temptations and danger to the goal of living out our faith each and every day. What joy, honor, and thrill it is to be a blood-bought child of God, and that is what we are. Rejoice. Our Savior is determined for us to be His own. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, You have claimed us to be Your own. You have written Your holy name upon our hearts. You have accepted us through the water of baptism, and You strengthen, encourage, and keep us safe through Your powerful word and sacrament. And so, dear Lord, as we travel through each and every day, may they be sanctified to You and in Your service. For You are our all, here and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior, amen.